Look, Heather, let me cut to the chase. A few weeks ago, I got a call from Wes, and he pitched me this really exciting idea. How would you like to join us in the definitive nightmare?
I thought you killed Freddy off.
I guess evil never dies.
I can tell you what the nightmare's about so far. It's about this entity.
This is still a script we're talking about, right, Wes?
We decided to cross over out of films into our reality. Miss me?
Every kid knows who Freddy is. Isn't there somebody who can stop him?
That person's you, Heather. In order to get out, he's gotta come through you.
The bandit is getting close. Dylan, don't sing that song.
19, never sleep.
Yeah, I think my livers are destroyed right now. I don't feel anything on my sides right now.
Did you say livers?
Yeah, that's right, livers. Yeah, that's right. this could be a first in the history of someone dying on a podcast, Amber. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I've always wanted to capture that on air. I'll make sure to go out in grand style, too, you know. Got my Ric Flair robe on and shit.
Woo!
Woo, that's right. Woo! Woo, styling and profiling, baby. It'll be a sad day when that man dies.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that right now. It'll be a sad day. You know, but I don't think Flair will ever die. I think I'll die before Flair. I can tell you that right now.
I think we all will.
Yeah. I mean, you can't kill God, as he would like to say. That's God. He survived a plane crash. Right? He's the guy that did that, right?
Yeah, he broke his back really bad.
Yeah, he fucked his back up really and still came back to wrestle.
Yeah, and he still looks the same.
Does he? I seen Cody this clip of him arguing with someone or whatever, and he was like, I can have any woman in this building, even that fat chick right there. And then he said, woo! I said, they just don't make them like that anymore.
Him and Hulk Hogan are never going to die.
Oh, well, shit, Hulk Hogan's too busy calling black people niggers now, so, you know, he ain't got time to die.
Oh, he'll get killed, probably.
You know, right now the Klan's looking like, that's right, brother, you tell those niggers.
He's going to be an honorary member.
Wow, man, he sure did fuck his career up now with that.
He did.
I know, man, for someone that could have still been going on, with wrestling and the promotions and stuff like that. Cause I heard they fired him and stuff like that. So,
yep.
Man, he fucked his whole career up with it. It's amazing how one little word can just fuck up your career. That's why if you're a celebrity and you work for an entertainment business like the WWE or anything like that, you need to keep your fucking mouth shut. Let me work for the WWE or something like that. They'd be like, hey, P1, so what did you think about it? I'm like, what do you think about the war on our... Mm-mm, mm-mm. How do you feel about Donald Trump being running for president? Mm-mm, mm-mm.
That one you can probably say.
Nah, I wouldn't even say that. No. Shit. What's his name? The McMahon or whatever and shit? He probably friends with Trump, so no, thank you. Mm-mm.
Yep. He's done. It's all because of his daughter.
Yeah, it actually is. That e-bitch-looking woman.
That's that's who she is.
Yeah, exactly. Damn, she fucked his career. Shit, well, he probably got enough money by now, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he does, because they buy them cheap-ass shirts he was always ripping up. That probably didn't cost that much, so. Probably got a bulk deal of them and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he just get divorced, though, too?
I think he married, like, a 24-year-old or something like that.
Yeah, but the last chick he divorced, so you know she probably took half of that money, so never mind that. He probably paying some shit.
Yeah. Who cares about Hogan?
I'm not about to say fuck Hogan. Hogan was the worst anyway. It's all not about the Macho Man.
Warrior.
Warrior. It's about all of Hogan was most overrated out of all of us. Yes. About the woo. Yeah. It's about all that bad charisma. Hogan was just the weird one in the group. And I mean weird one out of the motherfuckers that was wearing face paint and feathers and shit like that.
He was the one that had orange skin.
Yeah, you didn't know if he was black or white. That's why every time he said brother, I was just like, oh, he must be black, man, I guess.
And he had that weird patch on his hair that was just bald on top, and which is so weird.
I don't know, his body just looked flabby even back then, though, so.
I saw an awesome meme, because WWE erased everything of him, and it goes, damn. The moment you will forget, Andre the Giant tripped himself at WrestleMania 3.
God damn.
Then it just shows Andre falling.
That's the thing about WWE, too, is you gotta watch what the fuck you say, because they will erase your ass, period. So they erased everything of him, his archives or whatever?
You could still watch on the network, but, like, they're not selling his merchandise or nothing like that. They removed all of his stuff online.
I take it they're not gonna bring up any of his old matches, neither on the current shows and shit, too.
Probably not. He got fired from his show he's on with them right now.
Yeah.
So, he'd be fucked.
That's the thing with WWE, you fuck up in the public, whatever, they'll fucking never, you will never cease to exist. I'm a Hall of Fame, doesn't fucking matter, you will cease to fucking exist now.
Look at Chris Benoit.
What's his name? People, I know we get into a wrestling talk right now, but what's his name? The dude that lived in Atlanta that killed his family, Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Man, they erased his ass completely. I remember one time I was watching, I think it was one of the shows. It could have been pay-per-view or something like that. It was a while ago. And they showed that WrestleMania match he was in for the Triple Threat match.
Yeah.
And they didn't even show him in the match at all. They just showed Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I was like, damn. I was like, because they were bringing up all the old WrestleMania moments or whatever, and they just showed that match, but they didn't show him winning it. They didn't even show him at all in the match. I was like, damn.
Yeah, they roughly edited that big time.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. You know what, it's funny, because in their minds, there was no winner.
No, there's not.
The Shawn Michaels versus Triple H. There was no winner. It just, the belt just vanished. you see an invisible man holding the belt up. You see someone breaks up the pin cover when Shawn Michaels pinned Triple H. You just see an invisible person.
No.
I like that guy. Sucks.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, him not killing his family wasn't funny, but yeah.
No, it's, yeah, you're right, but.
I remember that was a big deal, because I was, either I was leaving Atlanta, or I was going to Atlanta, because I remember I was at the airport.
What's
that? It was all over the fucking TVs at the airport, mm-hmm. Just all over. You couldn't fucking walk a mile away just without that being on the air, TV.
It was funny, because I was with my ex-wife at the time. We were watching, we were at my parents' house, we were watching Ghost Rider. And my sister texts me, "Did you hear about Chris Benoit?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "Turn on the news." And we stopped watching the movie and we just watched it. I'm like, "Wow."
Yeah, that was I want to say that took over news for the whole month.
That was serious shit.
Yeah, because of the whole, the doctor and the medicine, and, you know, I think it was, the WWE wasn't testing for, concussions and brain injuries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And steroids.
I remember, what's his name? Mr. Ayatollah Rock and Roller Jericho even came out and said, you know, WWE wasn't doing any of that kind of testing and stuff like that. I mean, it was a really big thing in, at least for wrestling, pro wrestling and entertainment sports like that or whatever. I know it even spread it on to, football and stuff like that. Like, you know, most of these companies don't test for concussions or they don't check the doctors that prescribe the meds and stuff like that. Did that doctor get arrested? Because I remember he got set free or whatever. I mean, because I remember he even admitted, I was giving the wrong prescriptions and shit. I was like, yeah, you don't give a fuck.
I think so.
Oh, okay. the tone of his voice just sounded like, I didn't give a fuck. Yeah, I fucked up, but you know, hey, shit happens.
Yeah.
Collected my money. Well, people, welcome to the Throwback Tuesday, episode 109. I am your spoiling host with the most, the phenomenal one.
And this is Z.
And you're listening to Wrestling Talk with Phenomenal One and Z.
That's our wrestling name.
Back to all the injuries and concussions of wrestling as a whole, stuff like that.
Fuck that. I'll do that shit, man. I'll do a fucking wrestling podcast.
I can tell you this right now. A lot of people say that, you know, wrestling is fake. I can tell you this right now. I couldn't do what those guys do.
Not 350 days a year.
God damn, is it that long?
It's a lot. They're like pretty much 5 times a week.
Fuck, dude. Shit. And then I take it they use their weekends traveling.
They travel late at night.
Fuck, man. The lack of sleeping, that damn business. See,
UFC, you can train in your hometown, and you got, what, 2 fights a year, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, because you got, like, even boxing, you got, like, 4 months of training and shit like that. I mean, you damn near got half a year of training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see those HBO specials like Mayweather and stuff like that. I mean, he spends like a good half of it like just relaxing, then the other half training and shit. He's like, damn, dude. And they say like month 3. By then, you're just like, god damn, dude. Shit.
He's spending the other time being on women.
I mean, I was gonna say, when was the last time you saw a Ronda Rousey fight?
She fights coming up, like in the next week or two.
Yeah, it's next week. But when was the last time you seen one?
I think last year.
Yeah, exactly.
But she finishes the fight in like 15 seconds anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, that does not make her a badass. That the person she was fighting made a stupid decision. Okay, I don't know why people keep thinking that. Oh, Ronda Rousey can beat people in 15 seconds. No, no. That person that she was fighting made a dumbass move and rushed into that fight. And that was her mistake. You can catch anybody off a mistake like that. Mm-hmm. Really, Chris Benoit, he caught his family on a mistake and hung him. Damn. Too soon? Nah, it's not too soon. That happened like in 08 or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are talking New Nightmare.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yeah. Which is the seventh movie.
Is it the seventh?
Seventh movie.
Okay, yeah, that's right, because they did say, like, 5th or 6th films in this here and shit like that. Oh, my God, man, I have never wished for something to be over as quickly as this movie.
This movie is very, very close to 2 hours.
I think it is on 2 hours, right? Like, 159 or some shit?
112.
I'm talking about, like, hours, like, an hour and 59 minutes, right?
152.
My God, man, it just fucking kept going on and on and on, and I was just like, where the fuck is Freddy at, man? Shit. God damn. Sucking the soul out of this fucking movie right here. I mean, shit, I like what your setup you got here, but you drug that setup out way too fucking long. Just give me some fucking Freddy at this point. That's why I want to watch this. He's charismatic, god damn it. I don't want to see this non-acting bitch on screen. Which, by the way, that chick was terrible.
Did you notice that half of the dialogue in this movie is someone saying someone else's name?
Yeah.
I never noticed that until today.
Heather Langenkamp?
Yeah.
What the fuck her name? She's terrible.
And she was playing herself. She
was fucking terrible in this movie.
She was playing herself.
Fucking terrible in this movie. I think everybody played themselves, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What was that?
What's that?
You bringing up.
Oh. Yeah, she played herself, Robert Englund, John Saxton.
Who? Creepy-ass Wes Craven.
Didn't John Saxon look like the exact same as the original movie?
Yeah, I was about to say, he looked the same in the original movie. I was like, damn, did they just not pay him and then just redubbed his parts from the first movie?
Maybe. And Robert Englund looked young as... Robert Englund was creepy as fuck, just as him.
What was the whole thing with him drawing the painting of Freddy and shit and then saying, you have those nightmares too, right? I gotta go, whatever. Then they never came back to him. I was like,
No, Wes Craven was creepy.
I thought it was wasted potential with some of the people. How could you have Robert Englund and not Robert Englund and meet up with Freddy at least once in the movie?
Yeah, that's a big miss.
What a fucking miss that is and shit. And then, oh man, but Heather Langenkamp, she looks terrible in this movie, man. She, her style of acting and the way she talked or whatever was just fucking annoying. And then even the part when she found out her husband died, she couldn't even cry. She was supposed to be in tears because she covered her eyes with her, and then when she moved them, there was no water effects in her eyes at all. I was like, damn. You're fucking terrible.
It's, I mean, the plot is interesting and cool.
It just drags itself out too fucking long.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff with Dylan, the kid.
Oh, shit.
I think they made it too weird. I mean, they did not have to make him so weird.
They didn't have to do that with him at all, to be honest.
No, they didn't.
They started from the beginning. That's a problem with, I think, because the psychological ideal of it, I like that we got the difference between reality and what's not real and stuff like that. I like that part of it. I think the problem is it's a two-hour fucking film, and they dragged that all the way from the beginning to the end. I think they should have ended that probably at least at a 30 to 45-minute mark, mm-hmm. and then try to bump it up just a little bit more. But it just stayed on the same tone to where you're just like, okay, is something going to happen now by this point? Because we're about an hour and 30 minutes in now, and I still have yet to see if Freddy is real or not, or is he back, and, you know, you kind of, and then you got this annoying kid you following who just, like you said, he's, like, weird throughout the whole fucking film, but there really is no reason why. It's just, like, is Freddy using his body or something like that, or, like, why is he seeing things like he is? Why isn't he just going after Helen Langenkamp?
Yeah. But the one thing I think, well, from what I was thinking, is that Freddy wants it to be a real movie. That's how he kind of...
I think Wes Craven wanted it to be a real movie. I don't know, I found that to be a little weird, too, when she found the script at the end of the fucking film, and I was like, alright, man, now you...
That just made Wes Craven creepier, because he snuck into the house and dropped the script off.
That was just kind of, alright, I was like, you know what, I was liking the realism and non-realism effects of the movie, whatever, but you know what, beating Freddy in the fucking script and just laying right there, I'm like, okay, that's a little too fucking much now.
I mean, this is the, plot-wise, this is the smartest Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
No, I think Dream Warriors is. The reason why I say that is because that was the first of these fucking movies where the fucking people actually realize, oh wait, these are our dreams. We control them. Yeah. Here, this shit is still fucking annoying for the simple fact that here you got someone telling Heather Langenkamp, which was Wes Craven, saying that you, Heather, or Nancy, as you'd like to call it, are blocking his entrance into the doorway and he's using your kid. Okay, well, bitch, then go to sleep and stop him then. See, that's my problem with these Nightmare on Elm Street movies here, is that, okay, so these whole movies, they spend the whole movie trying not to fall asleep. Or if they do fall asleep, they have these nightmares and wake up with bruises and shit on them. But then when you get to the final climax of the battle and shit, and you look how easy it is to kill Freddy, you're just like, why are you avoiding sleep?
Yeah.
I mean, because the way they killed him in here, I was just like, really? Is that what we've been, this whole psychological aspect, like, like, at first, it can be creepy, but then when you wrap it up to the ending and you get like, oh, wow, that's how we end it, that's how we kill him, it's just that fucking easy. You stab him and then throw him in a fire, I'm just like, wow, it's that easy to kill him? It's like, what was I afraid of then?
Yeah, I thought his death was, like, probably the weakest. Next to the last one, too, which was Freddy's Revenge, which is a terrible movie.
Yeah, because I thought at least when he kicked in and they went to his world, it kicked up a little bit in the excitement territory. But then, like you said, his death, that was probably one of the weakest fucking deaths I ever saw. Personally, it was one of the weakest endings to something that had something actually clever going for itself. And I really thought it just dropped the ball with the whole story itself of being this. So it was just like, there really was no point of being afraid of him or anything like this. And it kind of kills the whole psychological aspect of it. It was just that simple to kill his ass.
And then,
Heather, if you're the one blocking the doorway... If you're a mother and you see a creature trying to, or a father for that matter, you're trying to kill your son to get to you, wouldn't you try to get to him first then?
Yeah.
She's fought Freddy before. I mean, it's like, you know, I know, granted, in here it's seeming like, you know, it's a movie or if it's real or not and stuff like that, but, you know, if anyone would have the best knowledge of how to handle him, you would think it'd be her, right?
You would think, yeah.
Her fucking character is annoying in this fucking movie because it almost acts like the other film just doesn't exist, and yet they keep referencing them.
But then they also changed the look on Freddy His burn.
What do you think of that?
I liked how they make him more. They made him look a little more evil, but I didn't like the
faker.
Faker?
Yeah, the prosthetics and stuff on him didn't look realistic. Not realistic, but it didn't look as good as the original ones.
They gave
because
him
the ear. He looked too cleaned up.
I didn't like the hat.
I didn't like that fucking trench coat.
I didn't like that. His glove, it looked like the blades were coming from his fingers. He wasn't wearing a glove at all.
Yeah, the trench coat is like today's version of the hoodie back then.
Yeah, you're right.
So I didn't like that shit at all. Like, you know, his sweater was all cleaned up. It didn't have any blood or dirt stains on him and stuff like that. He just looked too polished for me. It was almost like he was just a brand new spanking Freddy, whatever, that just came out of a fucking shower.
Mm-hmm.
You can see too much of the inner details of his face. Basically, yeah. What I'm saying.
And it did. This didn't seem. This was a new version of Freddy. And I just don't think it was good because he said it. You said it yourself. He's charismatic.
Yeah.
This is like
they took that away from
him. Yeah, they took it. They went back to the original.
Yeah.
Which
you should have thought of the original. He was even more charismatic.
Yeah, this was probably the dullest.
A lot of shit in the first one.
This is probably the dullest Freddy.
Oh yeah, he doesn't have a lick of dialogue in here, and when he does, it's just like one lines. I mean, usually when he's even at that ending, when he's chasing people and shit like that, he's still in the background, like psychologically fuck. That was more of the psychological aspect. Was he would fuck with people. Like you could be running in a dark alley, you can hear his voice echoing, and you don't know where it's coming from. He didn't do any of that in here. This is pretty much him just trying to stab the kid and shit.
And he only killed two people.
Yeah, why didn't he just kill Heather Langenkamp when he knocked her unconscious instead of chasing that boy?
That's cliche.
Oh, okay. Because she was the one blocking his entrance to the doorway to interrupt, so why he just didn't fucking kill her and get it over with?
I don't know, I think it was cliche. And I'm going to go straight to like the beginning and say that I think her husband was completely useless in the plot.
Oh, fuck yeah. Husband was completely fucking useless. I like how all these scratch marks and shit on these dead bodies and stuff. Yeah, you're right. He did only kill two people. It's a husband and Julie, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, if you want to count those two in their inner dream at the very, very beginning.
I didn't even know if that was real or fucking not, so I...
But yeah, the husband, like, you know, he was literally on screen, what, 5 minutes?
And he seems like he was someone that had some charisma in him, too, in the first scene you see him in.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of liked the way he pursues himself and stuff, and the way he handles his conversations. So it was like, he might be a charismatic guy, you know, or something, but no, he's just, like you said, he's fucking useless. I don't even know why she even had, I guess just to say that, you know, hey, this is where my son came from, because he does absolutely nothing. I love it that a 3-hour drive went from bright ass sunny to nighttime though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Remember when he leaves the set or whatever, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be there." Palm Springs to LA is not a fucking 3-hour drive. First of all,
how long is it?
That is about a 2-hour drive, probably an hour and a half to 2 hours. Well, you know, I live in Long Beach, maybe, but I'm only like 30 minutes away from LA, so. It shouldn't be no fucking 3-hour drive. And then, not to mention that he fucking left like in the middle of the day, and then by the time he wasn't even nowhere close, and it was still fucking nighttime. Did he stop off at a whorehouse or something?
Maybe.
Like, and then he was looking tired and shit. I was just like, really? Come on, man.
And, really? Okay, we saw his claw marks on his chest.
Yeah, and nobody called that shit out?
Exactly. And they're like, oh, what happened from the accident? No. No.
What in a car accident would cause that?
Perfect claw marks down your chest to your stomach.
Like a fucking cheetah came and just scratched your ass or something like that. I mean, look. I like how everyone just ignores it. It was like, it was a pretty bad wreck. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I want to see how bad this wreck was because we saw the car crash into a wall.
Yeah.
I don't think crashing into a wall with a car would cause any kind of damage the way he was looking.
No. I mean,
if you notice on the body, the head is fine, there's no bruises on the head at all or anything like that. Only thing he's got is these claw marks on him.
So you're looking at that and going, like, you probably died from loss of blood, and that claw mark probably pinched an artery or something like that. I would assume it had to have been that. You stupid fucking doctors. I've never heard of a car accident just rip apart someone's chest like that.
No, I haven't either.
I mean, and yet has no head injuries at whatsoever.
Yeah, it was probably that was probably one of the weakest deaths for Freddy. Next to Rod, next to the original where Rod got strangled in the jail cell.
Damn, you're probably right. That probably is the weakest Freddy death. Was his husband, her husband. Yeah, it probably was, man. Well, you know, the setup of it looks so cool, too, you know, him coming out of the seats. You kind of can predict where it goes, but you expect kind of like the husband, like, to see it, probably put up a fight or something like that against it, and it probably goes on a little bit longer. Like, I forgot which Freddy was, where Freddy was driving was controlling the car and shit.
That was part five.
Part five, yeah, and he was kind of like, you thought it would have been something like that. But no, like you said, it was just coming out of the seat, claw him, then he runs into a wall, and that's over, and he's like, wow, that was...
Well, it only cost him...
Very uneventful.
It only cost him $8 million to make this movie.
And all of that went to that fucking claw.
Probably.
Because the claw was a fucking prosthetic. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't a glove or anything like that. It was like a... It was like a fucking Star Wars hand.
Plot synopsis. Forgot that. New Nightmare, directed by Wes Craven, starring Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund, Miko Hughes, John Saxon. Budget $8 million, box office $18 million. And it's pretty much the real life of Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund, Wes Craven. And Wes wants to make a final Nightmare, and he's having dreams, and everyone's having nightmares of Freddy.
He pretty much described his career in this. Is the script almost finished? The script gets finished when I have dreams. I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like your career.
Because he's very hit and miss.
Shit, more missed than hit, but yes.
Yes, you're right on that one. And I like
what... Last time he had a hit?
Scream?
Some people said this was better than Scream.
No, I'm the ultimate Scream fan. This is not better than Scream.
I was even reading some reviews on it. A lot of people were saying this is, like, better than Scream.
It's smart. I'm going to give it to you. It's smart.
And I was reading, not critic reviews, but I was reading more of how the general audience saw it, and they were all saying it was better than Scream.
This movie has a 77% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I think, personally, on Scream, I think Scream is more exciting. I think this one is smarter than Scream, so I'll give it that. But I think Scream is more exciting, just because... The payoff feels a little bit more better.
Yeah, this is a prelude to Scream, because it's actually Scream. It's people dying from movies. Same, kind of same thing in this one.
What's up with that black chick in this film? Did you watch your son watch your movie?
And was he turning on the All Nightmare on Elm Street channel?
I know, right? Well, remember the TV was unplugged, so that was Freddy doing that. Freddy was that was the only egotistical thing Freddy did in this movie. He's just like, watch my movie, bitch.
Watch Dream Warriors, come on.
I know, where was Dream Warriors in? Dream Warriors! And you know what, maybe, because I'm talking about Heather so badly in here, is maybe because Heather really wasn't, in all the Freddy movies, it always felt more of an ensemble team, or at least in Dream Warriors.
Ah, yes, I know you're... Well.
It felt like more of a group thing than it was just focused on one main character. Of course, one main character always lived or survived at the end of the film, but it felt like they gave enough screen time to a lot more people in here. And you could always see Heather being typically somewhat just generic in those movies, but I guess you kind of go along with it because the movies are fun and blah, 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 whatever. Here, she is the main focal point of the movie, and my God, man.
Do you think she was... Do you think she was kind of... Because this is... Like, compared to Nightmare on Elm Street, I wouldn't say that was a starring role because it was her and Freddy.
Yeah.
But this was, like you said, 100% her.
And that kid.
Ugh. That kid's just a horror... He's just a horror kid. That's all he is.
That kid was terrible. Man, he was annoying. Man, her whole family was fucking annoying. You know, I wish this was a movie about Robert Englund.
I know.
That would have been cool as shit had Robert Englund been the one having these effects and stuff like that. After all the years of playing Freddy,
in the movies or whatever, and realizing that a real Freddy actually came to life or something like that to kill people, how he dealt with it, man, that would have been a better film.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And then the twist could have been that we find out that no, he really is Freddy.
The movies drove him to kill.
Yeah, exactly. The movies drove him to kill people, and he just realized it now. And then the dude in the wheelchair becomes the Grandmaster Wizard or something like that, and electrocutes his ass again.
I'm not gonna lie, that would be really cool.
Yeah, this is the first time you had Robert Englund in the film. You didn't do shit with him. Come on, man.
I know.
What a fucking waste. What a waste.
Why didn't you... It would have been a better plot, because you could still use the same thing, but with just him. He's so charismatic.
Oh, yeah.
But he was really creepy as himself. He was really creepy.
It was one of those things where they brought him out in the Freddy prosthetics and stuff like that. You're just like, oh, that's all you're going to see him. But then you see him like four more times in the film, and without makeup on, you're just looking at him like, why is he even in this?
You can't have a Nightmare on Elm Street without him.
Shit, I wish they would have, because it was just wasted. They had a lot of scenes with him that just went nowhere, like the one I just described where he was painting, and Heather, she was just like, are you having the dream too? I'm coming over tomorrow. And then she tried to call him, he's on vacation now, or something like that, left. They never really came back to that, if this was real or not, what he was seeing, anything. I mean, there was a whole other fucking story going on with him, see?
Yeah. Maybe there's a sequel. We just don't know about it yet.
No, fuck that. No, that's okay, Wes. I don't need you to do no sequel. Okay.
But did you know this? This is from when I watched the Never Sleep Again documentary. That the whole earthquake thing, that when they were filming it, earthquakes would really happen. So they added that into the script.
Yeah, because this was around 94. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they amped them up to her whole other degree. Because 94 in L.A., those fucking earthquake wasn't like that now.
No.
But more so in the Bay Area, probably, like in San Francisco and shit, but and hell no, not in L.A. Fuck no.
But they...
I thought this movie was boring, I'm not gonna lie.
It focused way too much on... It's either... It's at the house, Heather sleeps, her son wakes her up, there's like the claw coming from the bed.
She's paranormal activity, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of, I want to say a lot of going back to the first one, especially with Julie, how she dies.
Oh, they really do that towards the end of the film. They really go back to the first fucking film.
Yeah, when Julie dies, it's the same thing from the first one.
Yeah.
And this one, she just got her neck broken.
Yeah, I was going to say, which was a crap. Death too, because you didn't really get to see that good. I mean, that was one of Freddy's signature moves, like he'll show you the death and still fucking taunt you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, he didn't really do anything of that. When I say why it's Paranormal Activity, though, is because just like Paranormal Activity, this movie just repeats itself over and over. Like you said, it goes to the house, you see Heather, then the next you know, she's sleeping, she wakes up because she's either having a bad dream, and then she wakes up, she hears her son screaming, or she'll see him walking or something like that. I mean, it does that over and over, especially in the middle half. It's just like over and over again. You're just like, where the fuck is Freddy at by this point now?
Yeah, that was the first time I think he was fully on there, right?
Was like towards the end?
Yeah, like when he killed Julie.
Yeah. That was the first time he really popped up. And that was like the last 30 minutes, because after that, then you see him on the freeway.
And I did not like that scene.
Yeah, it's, she should have died, basically, in that freeway.
He should have, the kid should have died, too.
The thing about that, too, as well, is, what freeway is that crowded at midnight? I remember the doctor saying it's midnight, you need to go home and get some sleep. And then next thing you see this freeway saying these cars are just like, it's almost damn near rush traffic. I'm just like, what freeway are they on where it's that much traffic at midnight?
One you're not on, one you don't go on.
Apparently, shit.
What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. But I the whole doctor thing,
yeah.
I liked her as a doctor, Fran Bennett. But she just repeated the same dialogue over.
That's right.
Have you let him watch your films? Why don't they just say Nightmare on Elm Street? And why do they keep saying, who, Fred Krueger? Why did they do that?
Maybe
maybe they just couldn't say it because of right. I don't know. They avoided the fuck out of saying the title and stuff like that. They rarely said the whole title Nightmare. They would just say Elm Street or Nightmare or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's because of rights. I don't know if this is produced by a different studio.
It's the same studio.
Oh, I don't know what the fuck the problem was. I mean, it was a tie-in with the rest of the film, so it's not like this is a spinoff on its own or anything like that. And this poster is just weird as fuck, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it right now. I never really stared at it that much, but I'm looking at it. It's like you see Heather with the child and Freddy in the back. I'm just like, yeah, whenever you take a horror franchise and then your main male kid or anything like that, you take her away and focus on her child or whatever child it is, and yeah, you know this movie's probably going to be something.
And what is the deal with Freddy being scared of the fucking toy dinosaur?
Okay. See, I thought that could have been a cool aspect because I thought that was more of some Dream Warrior stuff right there where maybe the... I thought that Wes Craven was going to say the kid could probably beat Freddy because in his dreams he has more of an imagination going on and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking that he had the T-Rex fighting Freddy, like a real-life version of a T-Rex fighting Freddy or something. Like, they never showed anything like that or nothing like that. I was like, this could glance off of some Dream Warrior shit like that. Now, I thought that would have been a cool concept saying, like, oh, the kid is the one that can stop him because she's too paranoid to have these dreams and handle them and stuff like that. But this kid, he just doesn't know what's going on in his head. He just think whatever comes to his mind, like bright colors and shit like that, he'll create something. Maybe he could use some things from the dream to stop Freddy. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street films, the longer they go on, they seem to drop the more ball with the whole dream aspect of the films.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you said with the whole Dream Warrior thing with, you know, the dinosaur and stuff. I would love to see Freddy fight a T-Rex.
That would have been funny as hell, actually, to be honest. I really think that would have been cool as shit, especially if you see Freddy kicking that dinosaur's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Freddy, welcome to primetime, bitch! Getting cutting him up and shit like that, you know? And Freddy only said bitch one time in this movie. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
He gets an average of saying bitch three times in a film. Three times. He only said it once in here. And it's not even memorable, neither. No. When Freddy says bitch, that's memorable. Freddy created the word bitch.
Did you see your favorite actress from Insidious in the movie?
Ugh, you know, as soon as she came on screen, I said, yep, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie. I knew he was going to bring her up, so I was just like, yep, fuck that movie. Wow, she looks the same, too. That's the thing.
No, that's Bob Shea's sister, so obviously she's going to be in every movie he does.
Man, she did not look any different.
No. No.
She looks the exact same. I remember just going, as soon as she came on screen, fuck this movie. She got that same fucking voice and everything. He's just like, oh, God.
And the nurses, the nurses were mean.
Yeah, exactly. One of them, I love, hey, and Julie, when did she get so demanding all of a sudden? She's like, her mother said don't do it. And then she punched her. I was like, damn, I mean, just because her mother said don't do it, you gotta fucking punch a bitch for that?
Yeah. And you knew.
It got a little crazy when that scene, you know, the nurses are tricking motherfuckers to put some sleep pills and shit in them.
Yeah, and you knew Julie when she first showed up at the hospital, and she was alone with the kid before. Like,
you know,
she's
a dead bitch.
You know she was gonna die.
Yeah, you knew she was a dead bitch. She was gonna be the first victim.
There was no suspense leading up to that at all.
Oh, that's right, man. There was no suspense. The phone calls and stuff like that. Wouldn't that have been funny had we found out that's Robert Englund?
I think the limo driver was Robert Englund's voice.
Yeah, it was. Oh, Robert Englund.
Oh, like, and especially you said about why did we avoided naming the film, like the limo driver stuff. He goes, "You're that girl from the movie with the guy with the claws."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, just say the fucking name.
If the movie is that, because they make that movie like the biggest film in this movie. There's like Robert Englund got people asking for his fucking. He got kids asking for a fucking autograph. I mean, come on now, let's be real. So they make it seem, and then they say that Heather is the hottest actress out right now in this film because of these nightmare films. But yeah, like you said, no one can fucking remember the name. Like the limo driver, it's just like, you're that girl from those movies with the guy with the claws, whatever. If it's such a big fucking film, how do you not remember the? That's like saying, See, you remember that movie with the six superheroes teaming up to fight the alien invasion at the end? And, you know, you got one flying around, another got a shield and stuff like that. What was that movie called? You know, yeah, I forgot it. But, you know, it was one of the biggest films of ever, actually, in the top five highest grossing films of all time, whatever. But, you know, nah, not that film. Or that's like me saying, what was that movie with those people on that boat and the boat went down, you know, you're that girl from that. Yeah, that boat was badass. It went down, though. I thought everyone dies. Amazing how you lived or whatever. You know, that's like saying some shit like that, right, Z?
Yeah. I thought it was kind of an insult.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Because, yeah, it's Nightmare on Elm Street. It's a legendary movie in cinema history. And
was Elm Street even brought up in this film?
What's that?
Was Elm Street even brought up in this film?
I think just, I think it just a little bit. There's no Elm Street at all.
Yeah, I was gonna say every Nightmare on Elm Street film has that iconic scene where they just like stare at the street sign that says Elm Street. I don't
no.
think this one had it.
No, that's probably why they call it New Nightmare.
Yeah, I guess New Nightmare. Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Wes Craven got to be like fucking Tyler Perry and add his name on the fucking beginning of the shit.
What?
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
What was the gap between the last one and this one? This was 94.
It's 94. Was it 89?
91.
Oh, 90, yeah.
So really, 3 years. They could have done this. Well, I know, this was what? 10? This was almost the 10-year anniversary. That's why they did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a homage in a way, but yet they don't bring it up, so it's like, it's kind of insulting.
Yeah, you're right.
How the fuck, you do a 10 anniversary film, whatever, and then you never bring the name up.
I know, I don't know why, it was the same studio, so it was New Line, so I don't understand why they were so hesitant of saying Nightmare on Elm Street as much, or Fright, because they kept saying, like you said, she was the hottest actress, which she was, she's not even the hottest actress. This is all she's known for is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, horror stuff.
You know, so I just don't get it. It's like it's a mind fuck of why they don't do it.
Nobody brought up Freddy neither. Only people that brought up Freddy was Heather.
Yeah, and they could the man with the claws. Like, oh, shut the fuck up, Doctor. You are old enough to know that movie.
Okay, thank you. No, thank you. Yes, thank you. When she said that, I was just like, fuck you, bitch. How fucking dare you not remember this iconic villain here? This fucking Freddy Krueger. Come on now. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here with this shit. And you know what was more annoying about that, though, is that whenever... At first, I thought that they wasn't remembering... When I first saw this movie, at least back then, I thought that they wasn't bringing up Freddy's name is because, you know, the whole thing of you gotta forget Freddy. That's how he loses his power or something like that. I thought that's what we were going with when I rewatched this. But no, that had nothing to do with it at all. Neither. I mean, as a matter of fact, that whole plot of Freddy is taken out of this movie completely. It's no longer about, you know, forgetting or remembering him at all.
Oh, yeah, that could have been a lot different.
Oh, fuck yeah. Would Freddy just be feeding off of the memories of that Heather has of him?
Uh-huh.
That would have been cool as shit.
Yeah,
I think they should have kept that. That aspect is cool, you know, like, oh, no, if you forget Freddy, he doesn't come back. But if you remember him, this whole town, let's just say he forgot Freddy and everything. So they make fun of him as, like, references in movies and shit like that. But the only thing that's still keeping him alive is that Heather is still having these fucking nightmares about it and shit. And yet she's the only thing that's keeping him alive. It would have been cool to see, does she have to die in order for Freddy to truly die?
Yeah, I mean, the plot is there. They just kind of missed it.
Yeah, because, like, once again, the psychological aspect of it at the beginning is cool. The problem with that is it goes on way too fucking long, and there's no payoff to it.
Yeah.
There's no fucking payoff to it. I remember when Freddy finally came on at that ending, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we got full Freddy now. Can't wait to hear him talk some shit. He barely did anything.
Yeah.
Before he stuck his tongue out and tried to strangle her with it, the Freddy I know would have said a funny ass line.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of stayed, like, when he was trying to swallow his head, Dylan, that was cartoon Freddy-ish, which is the later, because Wes Craven's Freddy was always dark. He didn't do the comic relief type thing.
Which I don't like that at all.
Because it's if he does, it's just gonna be like a Jason or a Michael Myers. They don't talk. They just.
Exactly. That's exactly why I prefer charismatic, funny Freddy, because, like you said, it just feels like another fucking Jason or Michael, or just a bland horror icon villain just chasing to kill people. I mean, and that's, I mean, and granted, he's doing that in the originals too, but he's adding something different to him. And, you know, he's shit talking. He's kind of like the opposite of Spider-Man. You know, he's talking shit to get inside his opponent's head to kill them. So, you know, it makes him entertaining. Just like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Like the Freddy I know, who stuck his tongue out and tried to wrap somebody up, he would have been like, "Time to lick you up, bitch." He would have said something like that. Just Frank just said, "Hey," and stuck his tongue out and licked. I was just like, "Oh, really? Okay." This the Wes Craven's Freddy is not memorable.
No.
He's not memorable at all.
I mean, he's got probably the best stories on the Nightmare side.
No. Dream Warriors. I'm sorry, the first and Dream Warriors were the best Freddy films. After when Wes Craven got a hold of Wes Craven, just I'm sorry, he made this shit boring and just tame. They're nothing. They're just generic ass horror films or you take away whatever charisma those first films had and shit like that. Wes Craven just made them into generic. Because look at this fucking one. I just brought up Paranormal Activity. It just compares every generic fucking horror film that's out there now.
Yeah.
Freddy ain't memorable in none of his fucking films or anything. I mean, just the villain himself isn't memorable. And that's personally, Freddy is the first one of these guys you've ever rooted for, in my opinion. See, you liked him. He was fucking Garibaldi. I mean, with Michael and Jason, they don't have no personality, so you don't really give a shit what they do. I mean, it's like, yeah, beat his ass. Or, you know, you can't wait to see what kills him. But, you know, with Freddy, he has the personality. It was just like, oh, man, I want to see this guy go on more or whatever. And I'm not bullshitting. I think Dream Wars is the better fucking storytelling there because finally they actually made characters that were fucking smart, if you ask me. I mean, you mean to tell me Freddy's been haunting all these teenagers here, whatever and shit? Not a single one of them has had a dream where there was some fucking superhero or something where they beat the shit out of Freddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on now. How many of these fucking Freddy movies has been? Fucking 10?
7.
7 of these goddamn things? 7? Has it been 7 or 8?
This, 8 with the remake.
Yeah, 8 with the remake. They didn't make a sequel to that yet, did they?
No, I don't think they are.
Nah, they talked about it, but thank God. So yeah, you got 8 fucking films here. You mean tell me only one of them has ever delved into that shit?
Yeah.
It's got the same fucking actors from it? Jesus Christ. I know how we can defeat Freddy. A couple of years ago, in the third movie I did, there was a bunch of kids. They were mental patients, though. And we created personas of ourselves to fight Freddy off. We could do that now. You would think someone would have that conversation now, you know. Freddy is not scary. He's just not. Well, I don't like Wes Craven's films or whatever, because they try to make him all scary. Freddy isn't scary, I'm sorry. But if Freddy came to my dream, he'd be like, damn, this is a fucked up individual.
Yeah.
And then Freddy would try to leave, and I'd be like, you better bring your scaly face looking ass back here now. Come on, get a part of this now. He'd be screaming, oh no. He'd be like that clown from Scary Movie 2 that was trying to get away from under the bed from Sean.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But here you got boring ass Freddy that's not fucking memorable. Yeah, sure, the fucking premise of it is cool because of the psychological aspect, but like I said, that shit goes nowhere, and personally, it actually drug on longer than it needed to be, just like all Wes Craven films. And it made the fucking film boring. I was bored as fuck out of my fucking mind. I was literally fucking bored out of my mind. This was like Halloween 3 over.
Wow.
What the fuck is that called? Season of the Witch. There you go. I got a Freddy movie where he's only mentioned in movies. Yeah. Hey, good job, Wes Craven. That's what I want to see out of my Freddy films. You fucking bitch.
Wow.
He's stunned now. He's like, he's just like, oh shit.
Because Halloween 3 makes no mention of fucking Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I don't even think they said Haddonfield.
I want to say that they said probably one thing at the beginning, and that was it. I remember I saw something on that, why they made that film too, like how it was and shit. I can't remember why per se that Michael wasn't brought up. I cannot remember, but I remember there was they used to do it all the time around Halloween on AMC and shit, and they showed the whole Halloween marathon, obviously, because we do Halloween on this show every Halloween. So, you know, I just watch all of them, but and realize, wow, these movies are shit. wow, what the hell was I liking about this guy? This movie's so terrible. Yeah, this is like this Freddy movie to me is like fucking Halloween 3. Freddy don't fucking show up to the last 10 fucking minutes of the fucking film, and it's fucking annoying because Freddy is not like Jason or Michael. He's supposed to be on screen. He's charismatic. He has personality. I don't give a. He don't even have to fucking kill nobody. You just need to have him somewhere in the fucking film. This is like the opposite of season 3. They don't show him, but yet they keep referencing him from other fucking products and shit like that. I'm just like, wow, fucking product placement. New Nightmare is what it should have been called.
Product placement, New Nightmare.
How the fuck do you product place Freddy Krueger in his own movie?
That's a good point, yeah.
And then you have this shallow-ass Freddy Krueger show up at the end of the film, and then you're like, oh, wow. It's like, man, fuck you, Wes Craven. Man, fuck that guy. Hate that guy. Seriously, dude.
Damn.
No, it's pissing me off the more I think about it now. Shit, because I literally was fucking bored. I remember towards halfway of the film, I was just like, fucking do something, all right. Just end. Damn. Jesus Christ, man. I would... take just the simple girl running in the woods, Freddy chasing something. Shit, I got tired of seeing because the last dream I think we saw was the kid putting on some knives to his fingers and then acting like he was cutting. And then she wakes up in the morning and shit like that. I'm just like, oh my god, Jesus Christ! How many times are we gonna keep seeing this shit?
Yeah, it was that's why they could have cut the movie down so short, because it was the same thing over and over. I don't know how many times she caught Dylan watching the movie. Think 3.
A lot, yeah. And even, like you said, Dylan was fucking creepy in the beginning of the film. I'm like, just don't go then. As he stands in the background. When he's standing in the background, did you not expect that scene from the new Poltergeist where that little girl was standing by the stairs and she just got dragged up them fucking stairs?
And I never seen Poltergeist.
you saw the trailer, though, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. And, like, when his dad died, he just walked away calmly.
Is he possessed by a fucking demon, or is Freddy up in his ass right now? What's going on here?
Maybe there's a little thing of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, where Freddy's possessing people.
Yeah, but they even bring it up, Freddy wasn't possessing him. That's what I said at the beginning of this fucking review, was Freddy possessing him or not, and then we find out, no, Freddy's not possessing him, because Wes Craven pretty much just, every question you had about the film, Wes Craven tells you that shit when she goes meet him. And he's just like, oh, she's not even, okay, then what the fuck? Freddy's just using him, dragging him into his dreams, whatever, just because he wants to get to Heather here. And it's just like, Heather! Hey, that's the end of the movie right there. When she left Wes Craven's house, that was the end of the fucking movie for me, because he pretty much just said, using your son to get to you.
Mm.
Go to sleep, Heather! Go fight Freddy! Like, honestly, at this point in her fucking life, she didn't fought Freddy so much. Do you really think she'd still be fucking traumatized by that now?
Yeah. But now it's real life to her.
I mean, well, because the thing, and here's the thing, though, I compare her to, like, Jamie Lee Curtis. Later in the Halloween series, Jamie Lee Curtis was just like, at first she was traumatized, too, but a second, later the films came on, she was like, oh, no, fuck him, I know who's coming, it's Michael. I don't care anymore, whatever, I'll pick up a knife in a heartbeat just to protect my family now. Yeah, we still have Heather, after how many fucking movies now, and she's still... I'm still traumatized, right? It's just like, oh, fuck. Shut the fuck up, shit. Man up, shit. She's a fucking terrible character.
I just think she was... she might have been overwhelmed just... because she was... She was the movie. She was the movie. Oh, she wasn't great. I know.
The acting was terrible, and her character wasn't great neither, or whatever. There was no fucking progression with her. Like I said, with Jamie Lee Curtis, you saw progression in her form of how she dealt with Michael.
And she had like a PTSD in H2O, right?
What was that?
She had like a PTSD situation.
That's right.
And two.
And then in the later one, I remember she was like, "Oh no, fuck Michael. I don't care if he is my brother or not. You know, I have to protect my family now. I'm gonna kill him. I put him down." And you know, she was brave and bold about it too. She was like, "Hey, Michael, you know, you want me? Come get me. I'm right here, or whatever and shit. Here, you got Heather." It's just like, I felt nothing for you at all in this whole fucking film. I didn't care if you lived or die or not. You know, with Jamie Lee Curtis, I'm rooting for her. But with you, I'm just like, I could care less if you and your son got killed right now. That's a problem with this movie. You don't care about any of the characters, and you don't care about Freddy.
They really kind of dumb down the heroin aspect of a horror
I thought
movie.
you were talking about drugs for a second. I was like, wait, what?
No, the heroin of the movie.
Shit.
Maybe.
That makes sense then. But yeah, they really have. I agree with that. They fucking dumbed her down to nothing.
And that's
She's
not on her,
not heroic.
that's on Craven.
She's not heroic. She's not brave.
Not smart.
Exactly. She ain't smart. She does repetitive things. If you got a phone call, I mean, someone keeps calling her phone, just don't answer the fucking phone ever again. Just don't answer the fucking phone ever again.
Oh,
You know what
then what, she got the letters and she put answer the phone, and as soon as she saw it, the phone rang.
Why the fuck was she saving those? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, and she had like a dream within a dream, so that was a fucking Inception style.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, well, because when she first got it, it was before the fucking dream, too. She's awake. She first got the damn thing. She stuck it in a drawer, and you saw a bunch of other ones in there. Like, why the fuck are you keeping that?
Yeah, why are you keeping that?
I don't get that. And then they're, oh, it's just some crazed fan or whatever. Well, then, if it's a crazed, just fucking move then. How about that? Make sure you call the police if that happens. You don't see a single fucking cop in this whole goddamn movie.
Just when they're saying about his son or the husband being killed.
Yeah. I don't even believe they were cops. I think that was his neighbors. They were role playing.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I loved, did you catch the husband's business name for a special effects company name?
I saw it, but I didn't give a fuck, so that's why.
Cut to the chase, and his name was Chase.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, clever. Yeah. Fuck you, Wes Craven. Just fuck you. Wow, this review is making me hate this movie now. This review is making me hate the fuck out of this movie.
No, I guess my rating.
Yeah, you got some notes.
I enjoy the plot. I really think the plot's really good. They just missed it. They just missed the execution.
You don't enjoy the plot, you enjoy the premise.
Premise, sorry. You got it's like The Purge. You got a really good premise, just missed completely.
Well, you know, compared to The Purge, man, you hated The Purge. I don't know if that's a good comparison.
No, but it's got a great premise. It's just missed the plot.
I get what you're saying, but I remember you said you hated The Purge. So
I didn't hate it. I was very, very disappointed in it.
you put that on your worst of list in your summer.
No, I put Purge 2. Purge 2 was absolute shit. But I'm gonna give it a low stream it. I'm gonna give it a low stream it. It's still a Freddy movie. Freddy is on there. You just gotta wait almost 2 hours to see him. It's not the strongest. After rewatching it, it's not the strongest of the night, because I think Dream Warriors was the last strongest one. Then it really went downhill after that.
What was the last one named again before this one? It was
Freddy's Revenge, which was just
Freddy's Revenge.
terrible.
Yeah.
Because he had a
And they
they
said it was
said
Dream Warriors, right?
it went it, and the order went Nightmare on Elm Street, then it's called like Freddy, no, Freddy's Revenge was two, Dream Warriors, Dream Master, Dream Child,
Oh, Dream Master. That's right. Yeah, Dream Master. Okay, I
Freddy's
forgot about
Dead.
the
Freddy's Dead
Dream
was
Master.
six.
I always forget about Dream Master.
I think a lot of people do.
I saw it on TV one time and I realized, I was like, oh yeah, this was a movie. Yeah, I forgot. Same actors from Dream Warriors, too. Yeah. Well, the ones that lived, at least.
Oh yeah, Patricia Arquette didn't return.
Yeah. Dream Master was probably cool. haven't seen it in a while, but
it's just getting a little streamy. I mean, it's probably from Dream Warriors to this. This is obviously the best one out of those four after Dream Warriors.
Yeah, I guess I'm on opposite end. I think it's a piece of shit. I don't think it's nowhere near even close to Dream Warriors. I don't even think it's nowhere near the first one. Matter of fact, I think the second one's got more to go for than this one does. This one only has that fucking psychological premise for it. And I'm sorry, but that psychological premise, psychologically, he's supposed to do something with that. A great psychological film is I Saw the Devil.
Yeah.
That's how you fucking do psychological. This shit you got here going on right now, no, this doesn't work for the simple fact that you give me this piece of shit, boring character in Heather, who serves really no fucking purpose at all. I mean, they do so many things with her that it just feels flat and complete and uncomplete, and you just like looking at it, just like, why is she the main character of this again? Her fucking son, they do so much with him, and yet nothing really pays off with it at all, and then you really find out that Freddy's just using him to get to her, and it's like, well, then that's the end of the fucking movie right there. I mean, because any parent would be calling Freddy out right now to protect their kid. Instead, you take him to see a doctor where they most likely are going to sedate him and let him go to sleep even more now. I don't get the... matter of fact, I don't. After Wes Craven, I don't even get why this movie went on for an extra 30 minutes. I don't even see why. I mean, because all of it was boring. This was the most boring Freddy Krueger I've ever fucking seen in a film. He sucked. Like, straight out just fucking sucked. I would dare even say that he's even in the fucking new remake more than he is in this fucking film.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insulting because that one is a piece of shit. I've never seen Freddy more boring than this fucking film here. And then the way they killed him. I said, wow, is it... That throws the whole premise of the psychological aspect out of it.
Yeah.
Like, so I was scared of a dude that all I had to do was stab.
Yeah.
That easy to kill. Wow. So, you know what? You just made me sit here for 2 hours getting all suspensed out and getting worried and stuff like that. How Freddy's going to handle his business. Then to see that final fight and just stab his ass, it's done. And you go like, really? That's, to me, that's like, okay, Avengers, this is like Marvel having damn near 16 movies and before they fight Thanos, and Captain America just throws his shield at Thanos, and then Thanos just goes down for the count. That's what the fuck this felt like right here. It'd be an insult just like that. Just like, wow, you set up this whole fucking world only to end this way. A shield throw.
Mm-hmm.
He went down. Wow, okay. Alrighty then. That's what this was. This movie's a fuck it. Yeah. It is a fuck it. I hate this movie. I really do. The more I talk about it now, I hate this movie a lot now. I think they need to stop with these movies. I need to stop with all these movies. The Halloween, the Freddy, the Jason, all of them. They just need to stop. To me, this franchise, I won't say it ended because I haven't seen Dream Master in a while. Probably is decent. Probably is actually fun. That was the thing about it. You know,
it was fun. It's fun. It's fun. Dream Masters is really fun.
No. All the Freddy movies are supposed to be fun. Shit, I don't know what this shit is.
Serious.
I don't know what this shit is.
It's...
You can do psychological with Freddy, but you can do it in small doses. You don't need to have it going throughout the whole fucking film, even in daylight when scenes are just her on set or some shit like that. You do that shit when it's nighttime set, but you don't keep repeating it over and over and over again. That's that paranormal shit I'm talking about again, where you hear a noise, you go downstairs, you don't see shit, then some of the paranormal activities happen behind your back, you go back to bed, and then you wake up the next day, and then you're acting like it's a normal day, and then you repeat yourself over and over again. That's exactly what the fuck this felt like. This is an insult, then, if that's what this is like, a fucking paranormal movie. And I'm not talking about a paranormal activity, I'm just talking about one of these paranormal movies nowadays we deal with ghosts and shit like that. I think this is some bullshit, personally. Now, you know, now that changes, it's a high fuck it.
High fuck it.
Yeah, fuck this movie. Fuck it right in the asshole. Fuck it right in Freddy's asshole, because that looked like that's where he got stabbed at.
Yeah.
Freddy is... what was that?
No, I just had...
You did say something. I know you did.
I said, yeah.
Did you call me a motherfucker?
No.
Now, just because I'm a fucking mother doesn't mean anything. Don't pull me out like that, all right? So, that's not my fault, all right?
You're a MILF hunter.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Yeah. Technically, is it even allowed for me to be called a MILF hunter? Because I'm 27, so it's like, you know, I'm grown, so...
Yeah, you are.
I mean, you know, if I was like 20,
20, then yeah, it's a MILF honor. But, you know, once you go over 21, I mean, shit, you know, I'm just saying. So, what do you think about that, though?
About what?
About MILF hunting, man, come on.
Yeah, I'm 30, I'm going to be 34 in like 2 weeks, so
you're looking for grandma, is what you're saying.
90-year-olds, yes.
Ain't nothing wrong with that shit. I would still do Betty White.
You would, and I believe it.
She's fucking funny. Shit.
You would.
Imagine being at a bar with Betty White, she making you laugh, and then you had a few drinks, and you just look at her and go like, and she said, come on, let's get out of here. And you'd be like, oh, hey, Betty White said, let's go. She take you back to her, the old folks home and shit. And then, you know, she takes her teeth out and goes down on you.
Well, at least she took her teeth out.
It's better. I said it's better that way. Them gums are munching down on that dick right there. No. What do you think of that, Z?
That's your doing.
How about Helen Mirren then?
She's not bad.
Yeah, you saw her in that bikini, right?
No.
Oh, you never saw her in that red bikini on the beach?
No.
Oh man, you missing out, man. You are missing. I'm gonna look this up for you right now.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, man, you wanna see this, man? Sure. Hold on, man. I got to find this for you. You got to see this. Oof. Yeah, let me type this in, man. Get off my fucking page, Freddy. You new nightmare. I never wanna watch this fucking movie again. Helen Mirren. How you spell this bitch name? Okay, yeah. Look, that's the first thing that pops up. Bikini.
No shit. In her name. No shit.
Wow, alright, well, somebody wrote the body of all ages. Wow, yeah, alright.
Okay,
come on. Load up, here we go. Damn, she's 68? Fuck!
Really? Damn.
Alright, whatever. Damn, yeah, that's what it says. I'm looking at it right here, it says 68.
I thought she was a lot older.
I didn't know she was that old. I thought she was in her 50s. There you go, man. I said,
oh, God.
Check that out. You tell me what you think of that.
Oh, God. I'm worried now. I'm worried.
Don't be worried. You're worried you're going to get a boner, bro. I know.
Getting links from you is just scary. Okay. That's pretty nice.
All right, you tell me what you think of that, bro.
That's pretty good.
What happened?
That's pretty good.
Right? She looks good, shit.
She looks pretty good.
She got some abs on her?
Yeah. Pretty impressive for being 68.
I actually said 69.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 69.
Ha ha ha.
People's getting some questions now. Our friend Wayne, he says, Warriors come out to play. He says, love this film. I don't know why. But he says, okay, love is a strong word, but it's stupid fun.
Is it?
Yeah, I didn't see no fun in that. I see no fun in this. Did you have fun?
No.
Okay. Well, he said, and I'm shocked you didn't pick up the punk ass Warriors come out to play actor was, Damn, why you gotta be a punk ass, Wayne? Ain't shit. We all know who that is. That was T-Bird from The Crow. But he says, come out to play actor was cough, cough, T-Bird. Okay, well, he just said, right there, my. So fired up. No, Wayne, I didn't notice that. I just didn't want to insult The Crow with this piece of shit of a film.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice that?
No. Nope.
Remember, I told you, I was like, he looks like a lot of actors.
I remember that.
I said one in particular, but I wasn't going to bring his name up because I was like, I'm not going to insult The Crow and T-Bird because T-Bird actually is a good character. This guy in here was a dumb fuck.
Yeah, he was.
A goofy motherfucker, too, at that. Remember his last scene? See? It wasn't me, man. It was them. It was the Warriors. These niggas. This film ended with a motherfucking gang walking on a sunset beach.
Probably the most different ending you would expect out of this movie.
And he really does. I dare to say this, Z, but it's probably the gayest fucking ending I have ever seen for a film about gangs, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No wonder Wayne likes it then.
Because it was nice.
It was gay, that's why. Anyway, though, next question. I always knew there was something about Wayne. That boy a little soft, you know. I wouldn't even compare fucking Crow to the Warriors. I mean, come on. Crow is hella more violent than fucking Warriors was it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I don't even think Warriors come fucking close. I mean, at least in Crow, they set someone on fire. In here, they set a car on fire. I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. Very rebel.
Oh.
In Crow, they had a whole holiday, Devil's Night. Oh, and they had a badass villain, too.
A very evil-sounding villain, too. He had a great voice.
Yes, damn straight he did. Shit, much better than Booker T. Can you dig it? Can you dig it, sucker? All right, Z.
You're right.
I'm sorry. Oh, man, that movie fucked me up. I thought that movie was good. I was like, wow. Throwback Tuesday, continuing to fuck my films that I love growing up. Oh, man, I remember when I first saw that scene, when we rewatched it, I was just like, oh, shit. I said, Z's gonna fucking kill me for this movie. He's going to be like, why the fuck did you pick this movie? I was like, I thought it was good. I thought it was going to be a really fucking good Z. I'm sorry. But you got Mr. Can You Dig It?
Okay.
Hey, this question I got here is from Margaretta Marcello. That sounds like a fucking drink.
It does.
It says, it's a drink I probably had last night. I don't even remember. What do you guys think of the Fantastic Four X-Men crossover?
Well,
we already knew that was going to happen. I mean, they talked about that last year, that, oh, yeah, there's some possibilities of crossing over. Once they bring up that word possibility, crossover, money, yeah, that's going to happen. I don't know why. I do know why money-wise and the success of Marvel. And, obviously everyone had their crossover plans. Sony had theirs, and that got dropped quickly. DC has their Warner Brothers going on. So, you know, it was only a matter of time before Fox kicked in with it. My problem why I don't see it is because X-Men has enough fucking characters that it is. What possibly could the Fantastic Four add to it?
And what are they going to do that the X-Men can't do?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. I mean, maybe I can see Reed Richards probably because he's smarter than most of the X-Men characters. So, you know, he's a genius. But other than that, I'm just like, you get the Thing in there? Well, shit, Deadpool, from that trailer we saw, has we got a real Colossus now in these films. So it's like, the Human Torch, they got Pyro. I don't know if he's going to be in the new film, the new X-Men films or not or whatever, but they got Pyro. I mean, the Invisible Woman, they got Jean Grey, you know, so it's like,
yeah.
I don't really get what this crossover is going to be. I mean, they would have to be fighting fucking Galactus for me to get that, I guess. I don't know, but I still don't get it just for the simple fact that X-Men has a shitload of fucking characters, probably more than the fucking Marvel and DC has. For their upcoming, DC's upcoming universe, and for Marvel's universe, they got going on. They have, even this new one that's coming out, whatever, you see characters you never even fucking heard about, probably in the movie world and shit, that's finally coming to screen. You're just like, damn, so how many fucking characters is there in the X-Men universe? It's a lot of them, actually.
And unless it was the Fantastic Four going to join the X-Men? Because they're mutants?
I mean, why, though? It's like, that's the thing. It's like,
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Why? Fantastic Four hasn't even been released yet. We no one. There's no money. I don't even know how much money it's gonna make. I really don't.
I don't even know how much money it's worth, to be honest. I mean, how much it costs to make.
And there's, it. I don't. Have you seen it yet? Because it's getting released, what, next week?
After next week, yeah.
Okay, so you probably haven't had the viewing yet.
I get to see it the day Mission Impossible comes out.
Okay.
So I get to see it. By the time you people hear this, I get to see it that Friday.
Okay.
So I get to see it a week advance before everybody else. Yay, Fantastic Four! Yay.
So this movie could absolutely suck, which most likely it probably will.
It's probably gonna make money though. I mean,
budget was $122 million.
Oh yeah, it's gonna make money. Gosh, come on, that's cheap shit.
Yeah, I don't want to say a no name cast.
It ain't got nothing to do with no name, though. I mean, it's the property itself. It doesn't fucking matter. You can put a no-name cast in any fucking superhero film, and it'll still succeed.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean,
the first X-Men film was a no-name cast, really.
Yeah. Barry. Yeah, I would say so, yeah. And then, with the X-Men, I don't know what route they're going with that now.
X-Men, I do. I know the route they're going with that. I mean, they pretty much, they just rebooted the whole, they pretty much destroyed all that old shit and whatever, and we started when they were younger. This is taking place, they're doing what I wanted. First Class took place in this time period. Days of Future Past took place in the 70s, I believe?
Yes.
70s, the First Class took place in the 60s, this took place in the 70s, and this new one, Apocalypse, is taking place in the 80s. I was like, wow, they must have been listening to my podcast, because that's what I've been fucking saying for the past 3 years now, shit. So,
yeah, and I don't, wow. And who knows how long Fassbender and McAvoy is going to stay around.
They might stay around for a while.
Jennifer Lawrence already said she's done after Apocalypse, right?
She didn't, she came back.
Oh, she came back?
That bitch knew who her moneymaker was. She ain't stupid.
This is her only moneymaker. Is this in Hunger Games?
Yeah, but Hunger Games about to wrap itself up, though.
Oh, so she needs something.
Yeah, so, like, people's like, oh, she don't need this. She got Hunger Games. It's like, Hunger Games, this is her last year for Hunger Games. She about to be done.
Yeah, because she can't do it. She can't make money on her own.
The last book I've been seeing her in lately, I'm just like, yeah, this. I don't think she's as great as everybody keeps saying. Because you see that movie? Well, of course, you probably didn't. There's a movie out with called Serena with her and Bradley Cooper. It is fucking terrible.
And how many times does she have to be paired up with Bradley Cooper?
Well, we know who did it. It was her, their boy. I think it was. I think he did it. Russell. I can't remember if he did it or not, but that film was fucking terrible. Hunger Games, I'm sorry, she is a fucking bland character in that fucking franchise. I'm like, Jesus, girl. If anything you need to drop is this shit, personally. But you know what, shit, hey, when you find out that, because they are doing spinoffs of Hunger Games and prequels, but we don't know if she's going to be in them, and she don't even know that, so she probably saw that, oh yeah, I'm not going to do X-Men no more, fuck that, I don't need that in my career, whatever, and then she realized that she's on a bad track record right about now. And she's like, Hunger Games about to wrap itself up, and she's like, huh, they're creating an X-Men universe right about now. Yeah, I better stick around with that shit.
Yeah, and she's got
a movie. She's doing a Hugh Jackman right now.
Oh, yeah, because he can't do nothing either. Yeah, she's in another movie with Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro from David O. Russell called Joy.
Joy, yeah.
Which doesn't even look that good.
Which was another piece.
What's that? I didn't hear that. What's that?
That's okay.
It comes out in Christmas. You get fainter and fainter every time.
Good.
But no, I've seen the previews for that. I'm like, oh, this seriously is a movie?
David O. Russell is. I don't like to use these words, whatever, but he's a motherfucker that's like, he only makes films to get an Oscar, and his name, he knows that the Academy loves him, that, oh yeah, I can put it out shit, and he'll still get nominated.
Yeah, Fighter. Really good movie.
American Hustle. Shit. Still got nominated, though.
I like Three Kings.
I was going to say, American Hustle probably had the most nominees out of everything and lost every one of them. That was pretty funny.
I remember, I think we were watching, I think that was our play-by-play, and I think we were both laughing at that.
I didn't win a goddamn thing. Yeah, that's funny as shit. Because they were talking about so much fucking hype that one was in the lead and everything. That movie didn't win a damn thing. It didn't win fucking costume design or nothing shit.
But yeah, he just makes it to make it, and he always has to go to Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper.
And apparently Robert De Niro, too.
Yeah, and Bradley Cooper, you know, you can do better things as the voice of Rocket Raccoon.
Personally, I think Bradley Cooper has outgrown David O. Russell, if you ask me. I think that when those two started working together, Jennifer Lawrence, she was the up-and-coming star, because we've seen Bradley Cooper before, and I think that Jennifer Lawrence had just passed Bradley Cooper in the first film that they did together, but the later that their careers go on now, you can see that Bradley Cooper totally passed David O. Russell and Jennifer Lawrence.
What's like, he can do more stuff by himself, but she...
Which he's proven.
Which he has proven, American Sniper.
American Sniper, fucking Guardians of God. I mean, he could go from something as a violent, fun, cartoonish as Guardians of God to come out with American Hustle, what, 3 months later?
Mm-hmm. And he's charismatic as all hell.
Yeah, and now he's getting into producing the TV show Limitless. They have it.
And he's also in the Netflix show coming out Friday. The Wet Americans. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, so, Bradley Cooper is definitely a fucking. I think he's definitely fucking miles ahead of Jennifer Lawrence at this point with their careers. But Jennifer Lawrence is fucking American sweetheart, so everybody's gonna suck her ass for everything she fucking did. I'm sorry, Serena was fucking terrible.
No, she needs it.
I think she's just doing the same thing. She has the same looks on her face now, whatever. Her expressions are starting to look the same. Those Hunger Games films, she's just not doing it for me. I can't believe that we're basing a war off of this character, and everyone's saying that, oh, this can't happen without her backing us up. And I'm like, I don't even see why. Why is she this so goddamn important? Her character is terrible in that. Don't get me wrong, I like her as Mystique. I think that they brought but this is more of the writing, I think, for First Class and Days of Future Past. I don't think it's necessarily her acting. It's more of the writing that they put Mystique at the forefront of these films.
Mm-hmm.
Because she should be at the forefront of these films. I mean, that previous trilogy didn't do a goddamn thing with Mystique, personally. I thought it was insulting. These last two films have done so much with her character and story-wise that everybody's like, wow, they had a lot of depth. But I don't think it's necessarily the acting. So for her to come out and say, like, oh, I'm not going to be doing this forever, it's like, shit, yeah, well, you could be easily replaced, so... Hush your mouth.
Yeah. It's, I mean, her career, she needs that franchise name, Hunger Games, X-Men, to make money.
Yeah. And personally, I don't think that I'm not going to say she don't need them. She don't. She probably can't get another franchise. I'm not going
to
lie.
But if a studio if a studio wants to make money, though, she's not the one.
She probably is. I'm sure studios would go to her for money because of Hunger Games and shit like that. They're not thinking that, oh, it's the property itself that made the money. It's her. I mean, yeah, I think they would get her for that.
I don't know. I'm kind of saying it's the property. It's kind of like you say
movies make money, though, so.
But her standalone movies.
Have you seen any of hers that failed, so.
House at the End of the Street.
That was cheap as shit.
Yeah, but that was her a starring role. I'm talking about her as a star. It's only her. No Bradley Cooper, no franchise name to it. Just her by herself.
People will still get her. I nobody even fucking remembers House at the fucking End of the Street.
No. The only thing I know is that was her first starring role.
Yeah, but she already had, like, fucking how many films out before that they even released that film?
Like six?
She had three Oscars before that film even came out.
Yeah. And I talk about people. A friend of mine said Winter's Bone. I'm like, Winter's Bone wasn't really a financial success.
A career success for her.
Career success, yes, but that's two totally different things.
That means she'll still get work, though.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. The Oscar gives
so
you.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fans ain't gonna what's gonna give her work or whatever. It's gonna be the motherfuckers that get it. Yeah, House of the Industry was only $10 million. That movie made fucking $40 million. Like I said, it was a success.
Yeah.
Her films make money. I don't even see why you thought House of the Industry would fail. It's a horror film and it's cheap shit. They all make fucking money. It could be the biggest dog shit of the year or whatever and it's still gonna make money because the horror movies are fucking cheap that day.
Yeah, you're right.
What was the last fucking, The Gallows. That movie cost $100,000.
What?
Exactly. $100,000. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Wait, how much did that movie make?
A shitload of money, yeah. So, and came in at number 5. So,
god damn.
She's a name fan wise. She's a name in the industry. She's gonna have a long ass fucking career. Don't care how many fucking boring performances she give or anything like that. She's gonna have a long fucking career.
And she's only like 25, I think.
She's gonna have a long fucking career because you know why? People love her. And the people that are going to put her in movies are going to be like, she knows how to bring a crowd in because people love her, audience members love her, or whatever. Therefore, she's going to bring money in.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's bad or nothing, I'm just saying...
No, she's bad. Don't get me wrong, she's bad.
she has moments. But get away from David O. Russell, though.
Look, I'm going to say this right now, I ain't seen a moment with her since fucking... Silver Linings Playbook, so. That was back in 2012.
Oh, that seems like so long ago.
I know, it really does, right?
It does. But she's boring.
House of the Industry came out.
She's boring in Hunger Games. Like, painfully boring.
Yeah, and like, the whole movie is based around her, and you're trying to figure out, like, why, though. It's like, why do they need her to fight this war or anything like that? It's just like...
Send really fucking Thor after him.
Yeah, I mean, what'd you just say?
Send Thor's brother after him.
You don't ever say the word Thor or brother in the same sentence, mentioning that motherfucker. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, he actually had a great scene in the last movie, and they cut that shit out.
Oh my god. They just do him no favors.
Like, he had the most meaningful scene in the movie where they were supposed to be filming a scene where Jennifer Lawrence, in the movie, they were filming her to give a speech to the rebels to unite together and shit to fight this war. And she couldn't do it, and Liam Hemsworth came out and gave a great speech about how he was there on the battlefield when they killed all the kids and stuff like that, and what broke this out into all chaos and anarchy and whatever. And then when they got back to the place they were hiding at, they edited that whole thing of him out and just had her talking with that whistle in the background. I was just like, wow, that was like, fuck you. I was like, wow. I was like, her speech don't mean a damn thing compared to what he just said. And yeah, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I haven't seen the new one yet, that part one. I'm not really aching to see it.
The thing is, too, they're technically good films, whatever, the editing and stuff like that. They're good. It's just, there's not enough going into it to make you want to rush out and see it or you have to see it or anything like that because, to be honest, I'm not going to lie, the premise of it is getting worse and worse as it goes on.
Yeah, what am I...
The premise of being, oh, we just put kids in these battlefield to killing them, now it's like, oh, it's like fucking Star Wars over. It's got all this fucking politics and shit going on. You're just like, okay, I don't know.
One of the actresses, yes, last night at film, and she says, did you see the new Hunger Games trailer? Oh my god, I can't wait. I'm like, yeah, you can.
I saw that trailer. It looked boring and shit. I'm not gonna lie. It looked boring. I was like, and Katniss is... I see an army coming towards her in his army. She's got a fucking bow and arrow. I'm just like, really, Katniss? Come on now.
I think I completely forgot about... what's the second one called? Catching Fire?
Catching Fire.
So I can't really watch Mockingjay because I completely forgot about Catching Fire.
Well, damn. I remember you liked that film.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. Because like I said, once again, it's technically is a good film, but does it pique your interest?
No.
Exactly. It doesn't. It has no excitement value in it. Or it's just okay, it's a good film. I can't hate on it or whatever. It's just one of those things where this shit is not for me.
It's like one of those things that you can't like it, but you can't hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Well, people, that is the end of the show there. That is everything we got to say. That is everything we got to talk about. Fuck you, Wes Craven.
That guy's my hero. Shut up.
How much you hate Wes Craven now, you can do so on Twitter. I'm over there at Movie Spoiler Pod, over there in the Twitter sphere. Or if you need to tell me something more in 140 characters of how much you hate Wes Craven just as much as I do, you can do so on Google Plus. And I'm over there at MoviesPoilers_TPO. That's right, you can do that. That right. Yeah, that's right.
What did you call it? Twitter sphere?
Yeah, the Twitter sphere.
I think that'll catch on.
Damn, man, you late. We've been saying that on movie spoilers. I don't know how.
I probably haven't caught. I probably didn't catch it at all.
Yeah. Once again, Z lagging. Anyway, though, people, Z, where can they find you
at? You can find me at SBulldog99 on Twitter. Or Film Shattered for Shattered Images Films News. Chad Zuber at Google Plus. And Facebook.
Oh, shit. Oh, baby.
You sound like Tyler Perry.
Oh, yes. No, no one can sound like Tyler Perry except for Tyler Perry.
And that's a plus.
Well, people, that has been Throwback Tuesday 109. I'm your spoiling host with the most, the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And we'll be back next week for episode 110. Another milestone for us. Another milestone.
Woohoo!
Another week of me thinking about canceling it. But we'll see.
You're such an ass. Later.